It's time to get dressed. It's time to get dressed. Now, we've all been teenagers, though you may not have been known as teenagers a long time ago, but I think we've been teenagers. Or we've had teenagers, and it's jolly hard work to get them up in the morning, to get them up and ready for school and all the things that they have to do. And they don't want to go, or they don't want to get out of their bed. They want to stay absolutely put. When we're a little bit older, a little bit wiser, we realise that we need to be able to do these things. We seem to be able to cope with getting up in the morning and getting dressed. But teenagers, it's just not cool. They don't want to do what they want to do. When Paul wrote his letter to the Christians in Rome, it seems that they were like teenagers in one respect, because they didn't want to get dressed. They didn't want to be people who visibly were following the living Christ. And I say this actually guardedly, because you know we can all be like they were. So what was the problem in Rome in those early days? It seems that they weren't living according to the faith that had been passed on to them. So their lives didn't live up to the truth of Jesus who was meant to be in them. So Paul talks very powerfully to the church in Rome through his letter. And he says, do these things, love one another, because the day is near. You need to understand the present time. The day is near. So there was an urgency about all of this. Something perhaps that they'd forgotten about. And I suppose as time went on, the urgency and the belief that Jesus was going to return and that it was imminent had passed them by. But Paul was saying, this is the time. You need to be ready. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Nothing's changed in many respects. We're still waiting for Jesus to come. But there is an urgency, and we do have to learn to understand the present time and what's going on in our world and be ready for the return of Jesus. And we do need to clothe ourselves with Christ. A little bit more about that in a few moments. But we do need to be ready. We do need to believe that he's coming. We're going to say it a bit later in the service. And say it with conviction and belief. That's why there was a National Day of Prayer on Friday, because it's about understanding the present time, what's going on in our world, and how we do need very much to be ready for when the Lord returns. And when people aren't living according to the faith of Christ, then there need to be some challenges made. Even Jesus was speaking in Matthew's Gospel about needing to put things right, not letting things fester. Go and sort them out. Don't let the church come into disrepute, but you know, go along and put things right with your brother or sister. And if that doesn't work, take someone else along and so forth. Don't let things get out of hand. Because when the church is brought into disrepute, you know, it affects the very name of Christ himself. So we need to keep short accounts with each other and with God, of course. But understanding the present time, there's a lot of things going on at the moment in the world, isn't there? And we must be careful about how we interpret some things, but these apocalyptic events, for instance, that appears to be going on all around America at the moment, is just kind of, ooh, you know. And whether that signals the coming of Jesus or not, we need to be ready, because we don't know the day or the hour that he will come, but we need to be ready. And Paul was saying this to the church in Rome. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love. It seems they've lost sight of those important words. And he said, you know about the commands. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. But love your neighbor as yourself. These commands never change. And in a sense, it's how we ought to be as Christians. We ought to be loving our neighbours as we love ourselves. So there's an urgency in this message, and then there's a command. Paul talks about clothing yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm always very grateful when people tell me, you know, that what you're wearing doesn't quite work. You can say it this morning if you wish. But anyway, people who say, actually, that's just not working for you. Someone who we trust. Important. You know, if we don't clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, then we are treading on very thin ice. We need to have everything we need to live our lives in Him. So when we are tempted, for instance, to boast about something we think we've done that's really good, we need to learn to put on Christ's humility, clothe ourselves with His humility. You know, we ought not to be telling people what we're doing. They ought to see what we're doing. Let it be seen. When lust comes our way, when that temptation happens, then we need to put on and clothe ourselves in Christ's purity, His purity. When we're tempted to get angry with someone and a bit short because, you know, we don't agree with what they're doing or the way things are going or whatever, we must learn to put on the gentleness of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to the church now. Or when we're tempted to be selfish in some way or another, we must learn to put on Christ's self-sacrifice and remember what He went through on our behalf. Or when we're afflicted by condemnation, and the world is quick to condemn, very often quick to condemn the church. But sometimes we feel condemned what people have said in the past to us, either family, friends, or even our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to put on Christ's blood. Seems a bit strange thing to say, but His blood it's His blood that cleanses us and sets us free. And we don't need to be condemned by what other people are saying or thinking. We need to be very carefully in tune with what God is saying to us, but put on Christ's blood. Clothe ourselves with what He has done for us. Or when we're tempted by fear, as sometimes we are in this life, as people look on what's happening in the world, people become fearful. We need to put on Christ's resurrection victory and believe that everything is in His control, ultimately. Even in terms of the end of the world, you know, I don't believe that we're going to get blown up by nuclear bombs and the world is going to be destroyed. Christ, God has a plan that Jesus will return. That's going to happen. But of course, we mustn't be complacent. And we need to pray for those nations that are saber-rattling and pray that they will get back into the way of communication. That's really important. And generally speaking, we must put on the armour of God every single day of our lives so that we can take our stand in this world in which we live. So there's kind of some negative things that we need to sort out, and there's some positive things that we can do to keep us on the straight and the narrow and to keep us safe in the arms of God. These are all important things. And this is what Paul was saying. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the important things that we need to do. And so our beliefs and our behaviour then should match up. Now we're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But our belief and our behaviour ought to match up. The way we behave in the world is really important. Canon J. John, I don't know if you've come across him, he's an evangelist, once famously said, if you take the word Christ out of the word Christian, you end up with Ian, and Ian's not going to help you much. That's the truth. We need Christ in our lives. Christ in our lives. Christians. We are Christians, followers, disciples, believers in Jesus. And we very much need to be aware of that. And so getting things right in the church, sorting out the disagreements, do it quick, do it gently. Remember that it's Christ that we put on. It's about Him, it's not about us. It's His church, not ours. And all of those things are really important. And one of the reasons that we meet, not just on Sunday, but in, for instance, in home groups and so forth, is to continue to try and put on Christ. To continue to pray that He will help us in the process of learning about all of these things. And learning to live together. In the power and in the grace of God. In a while, Charles is going to speak to you about joining a home group, if that's, you know, something you need to pray about. Not if that's something you'd like to, but do pray about it. Please do consider it if you're not already in one. One of the things we're going to be thinking about this year is something called the Turn. I spoke about it before. We're going to do it in our own way, in Falmouth and Penryn, and it's kind of a renewal thing that started up in Reading, but we're going to use the material and the basic way in which they've done things there, and see if we can reach others for Jesus Christ. Help others to find their way into the presence of God, and find his healing and his love for their lives too. And in the process of that, there's going to be some material to learn from, reminding us about what it is that we believe and how it should affect us. And that material will be available to home groups, but I think we'll go through it in the church as well. We all need to turn each day, every one of us, back towards Christ and reclothe ourselves afresh with everything that we can have that we might show his humility, know his purity. Be aware of the gentleness of Christ as we speak with one another. Think upon and ponder upon his self-sacrifice as we're tempted towards perhaps selfishness. Clothe ourselves with the very presence of God in the blood of Christ and his resurrection victory. Let's not leave that out, because, you know, we are an Easter people. And that's exciting too. And put on the whole armour of God to protect us in the days ahead. And do all of this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your sorrow, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Let's be still for a moment.